The Stories Told Beyond the Occult. That's the title of the book by Cole and Wilson. 20 years research into the paranormal. And he tells a story way in the middle of the book, about 182 pages in, about Rudolf Steiner. Rudolf Steiner, known in the fields of paranormal, occultism, things like that. That, he formulated his basic doctrine by the experience of a woman showing up and the woman saying to him as a boy, "Try and help me as much as you can." Then the woman walked into the stove and vanished. Not long after that, Steiner realized or found out that a female relative had died exactly at the same time. So the experiences that we have in life, they can sometimes push us into doctrine, a teaching, a belief system. You know, you have an out-of-the-body experience. You think that in a dream you saw a dead grandmother. You feel that somebody has walked into a room and sat down by your bed. Maybe some voice spoke to your head. All kinds of experiences. And let me tell you right now that in the prophetic scheme of things, more experiences, more events, more engagement, more encounter of the paranormal and supernatural, well, has been and will be occurring as never before in human history. So then if someone has an experience, does that then become doctrine? Does it become the teaching? Does it become reality? Did Rudolf Steiner, you know, listen, the experience that he had as a boy kind of led him into, as a matter of fact, here's what he says, quote, "I said to myself, the objects and events seen by means of the senses exist in space. This space is outside man, but within him exists a kind of soul space, which is the setting for spiritual beings and events. It was possible for me to regard thoughts as mere pictures we form of things. To me, they were revelations of a spiritual world seen on the stage of the soul. I felt that knowledge of the spiritual world must actually exist within the soul as an objective reality, just like geometry." Now, this is what the writer, Colin Wilson, in his book Beyond the Occult says. "That is a baffling doctrine, for it seems to contradict our everyday experience. If I sank into a state of, he goes on to talk about revelations of the spiritual world, and I did not see ghosts, then, is Steiner wrong? Who's right? If it's a ghost, if it's an angel, if it's a demon? So we've got a lot of sorting out to do, and that's why we've been talking about the concept of presuppositional analysis, and I believe that's going to involve being a spiritual analyst. That's right, being a spiritual analyst about all of the supernatural, paranormal, radical evil, and the end of days issues. Now, we're putting it in the perspective this week of the movies and all the things that are going on, but I can't help to bring in some of the brand new stuff just on the table. A brand new book came in about Babylon, reading about the old days, ancient Babylon, how vast it was, how broad it was, and all of the supernaturalism that would have been reported during those years. Now, of course, it dealt with gods and goddesses and quite different from the concept of God Almighty and a relationship with God. Now, it was more supernatural from the dark side, but nevertheless spiritual and supernatural. Reading Ed Dames's brand new book, I'm seeing more and more of the heart of a man that talks about his enormous decision about retiring from the military as a super, black ops operative in the sense of remote viewing and doing the intel that was needed during the war, and his grappling with all of the... I was reading chapter one. I was moved by Ed Dames. I was literally moved. Now listen, here I am as a believer, and in my heart, praying for every single remote viewer that I've ever read. Second generation ones that I have engaged and encountered and talked with. So I'm reading Ed, his first chapter, about his massive decision. He's out in the desert. He's in this great big, is it remote viewing? Is it what he's remembering? Is it the past? The war and the people that were burned on the destruction, the blood and the guts, and he felt that he was in hell. So I'm looking through all of this and find out that all the encounter is about his decision, going out to the desert and making the biggest decision of his life to leave the military, to retire and move on. And that retiring, that decision was going to be based on a process kind of remote viewing and reflection and so forth. In the context, he tells very clearly that, and again, all you got to do is read the chapter, and I'm going to tell you all the truth about remote viewing. Remote viewing is taking the basic finite abilities of man, but then connecting to non-human enhancement. And so Ed is very clear about the fact of this universal library, the Akashic Records, that field of information out there where all the data, all the thoughts, all the experiences, all the stuff, the old Akashic Records. This goes way back. This is a realm. This is where there's a collective of energy and presence and information and more and more and more. But I read this. Now listen, I'm reading it as a believer. See, I read Psalm 34, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Let me say it again. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. See, in the context of my life and my experience, once in the paranormal, in the occultism, in the dark side, once in a temple, learning how to leave my body, going out to that universal, engaging, getting the information, getting the knowledge, getting all the stuff, but also being taught by older masters that this was the, behind all the information was the entities that ran, that run that collective of knowledge and information. I read again Isaiah chapter 48 where it talks about the Lord my God, my Redeemer. See, it comes out of a relationship. It comes out of the fact that there is an interaction. All of my senses, all of my being. See, I don't need to go passive. Even when it comes to waiting on the Lord, you don't go passive. You don't empty yourself. You don't negate your perception, discernment, the eyes of your heart, the ability to perceive and read and receive that revelation, that work of God. Now, after 35 years, there is a deep familiarity of the Spirit of God, of the voice of God, of the leading, of consistency, of the use of the Scripture by the Spirit of God in the midst. So, whether it's Psalm 34, I sought the Lord. In the context of issues, in the context of decisions, in the context of things that we have to go through, listen, we can seek the Lord. Now, we're talking about infinite knowledge, the omniscience, omnipresence, the person, not just a library that nobody knows really where it came from or how it exists or what it's all about. Remote viewers will say that it's just simply the place of information, but truly it's the old Akashic Records where all of the older psychics and others know that there are entities behind the energy, entities behind the field, entities operating the whole of records. Just who are they? I mentioned Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48, when I read about the Lord my God, my Redeemer, here's what it says, who teaches you what is best and leads you in the way you should go. So as I'm reading Ed Dames's first chapter, I've been going through bits of the book since I've got it Monday. It's fascinating. It's about a human being and their interaction, but I noticed in the first chapter, absence of God, absence of the concept of prayer, absence. Ed seeks a different source to make the biggest decision of his life. And the source would be the process of reflection and remote viewing and the information and an engagement with the Akashic Records, the collective unconscious. Can I tell you tonight, in the context of the supernatural, the paranormal, and doing presuppositional analysis, doing kind of a spiritual analysis. Yesterday, I gave the five primary issues that you and I need to have. Now, we'll still have up later on. We're literally behind today. We're trying to fix some links and do some other things, but we'll have the 1 hour teaching up later. But we did go over it pretty well yesterday. The concept of the Spirit of God, the Word of God, prophetic revelation, going where most will not go, and then being, you know, our response, outrage, action. If you're really going to be like, some talk about being a watcher like the Old Testament. I simply bring in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Every believer is included. Be devoted to prayer, being watchful. Look up the phrase. It's a powerful little word. Peter, by the Spirit of God, uses that later on in 1 Peter chapter 5 in direct reference to the dark side. Being alert. The opposite of sleeping. The idea of analyzing the paranormal, analyzing the supernatural, analyzing the spiritual going on around you, because you've got an enemy, the devil, the adversary, prowling around like a predator, like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Greek word for devour, to swallow whole, like a lion eating a little small animal. Just devouring it, drinking it down, and swallowing it. That's the nature of the dark side. Though it uses subtle deception, masquerade, to reel, billions in. It's like the fishing tackle box in the spiritual world with all of the lures. You know, they decide what lure will work to lure an individual in, unaided by the Spirit of God, unaided by the personal presence of God. And so, yes, that little word I'm talking about, Colossians 4:2, watch, being watchful, being a spiritual analyst. Well, the Greek word literally, by one great Greek scholar, defines it like this: looking for the impending danger. Being alert as opposed to asleep, being completely engaged, observant of the possibility of impending danger. And I'm going to tell you right now, by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, by prophetic revelation, by the willingness to go and perceive and to wait and to be in prayer and to listen, and by the willingness to be outraged and to act on the insight that you get, well, then you'll become a very good spiritual analyst. I mean, there's a lot of spiritual analysts, and I'm sure that psychics and others will claim to be that, but the issue is, what side of the fence do you draw the non-human enhancement? Can I tell you right now, I confess, I have non-human enhancement. In other words, instead of just raw humanity, instead of just me by myself, it's been 35 years of the indwelling of the Spirit of God, of the personal presence of the living Christ, and knowing Him. When I didn't know Him, I thought it was kind of bizarre. How do you do that? How do you know God? How do you know? I didn't know, but there's a way. And so when I interact in all this, please understand, even when I read Ed Dames, world's probably most known remote viewer, I saw his heart. I saw his pain. I saw what he was going through. I could feel in his writing, his first chapter, you know, a lot of the pain. But the source that he chooses to get guidance, to make decision, well, that's what burns my britches, because I hate the dark side. I hate the dark side because it's so lethal and so predatory but has the ability to masquerade, perceive the prey, and decide what it will use, what lure, what mask, what approach to bring non-human enhancement. And for millions, that dark side non-human enhancement is, the source of it is undetectable because you don't have the presence of the God that created you, the God of truth, the Spirit of the living God inside. You don't have a higher source. Let me stop right now and say welcome. This is October the 27th, Wednesday night, 6 p.m. to 7, every Wednesday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Thursday, and Friday. Here we are, Shatter Live broadcast. We're glad to be with you across the radio, internet-wise, and satellite. Want to say that we deeply appreciate the email from Marcos, Brazil, yesterday. Just saying hello. Want to say hello back. We sent to Marcos connection links to some of the courses, and great to hear from him. And so we want to listen. I heard from another person. Appreciate the great encouraging words. Out of Canada, but moved to an island, you know, a little island nation. And was talking about, you know, maybe getting us to move down there because the impending danger of North America. They even talked about a 3-bedroom house down there for rent. So I want to say, again, without reading the person's name, to a sister now down there. Yeah, on the island, 3-minute walk from the ocean. Learning how to fish right into the sea, you know, right into the ocean. Learning how to build your garden, all that kind of. Listen, that's awesome. Don't know if I'll make it down there, but I appreciate the invitation. And listen, your bravery for leaving Canada to go so far away. May God lead and guide and direct and give you His providential purposes in the context of the mission of Christ. Want to say tonight, this is Russ Dizdar, voice of Shatter the Darkness, preemption broadcast. And listen, if you want to know all about us, if you're a new listener, we want to welcome you, shatterthedarkness.net, www.shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Now, that leads to about 5 other of the websites and all the information and all that we do. On Wednesday night, we have the 6 to 7 o'clock Providential Hour. I do believe it is supernatural. But at 7 o'clock, we're also on, only on Wednesday, and the live Ragged Edge show. So we'll follow this 1 hour immediately into the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to deal with the blood and the guts and the gore in movies and why. Night of the Living Dead, Saw, those kind of things. We're going to touch into that. But tonight, right now, with the 41 minutes we have left, we're dealing with presuppositional analysis and the search for the paranormal, the idea of non-human enhancements. Looking over to my left is massive, about a 500-page book, Colin Wilson, Beyond the Occult, 20 Years Research, Looking into the Paranormal, and again, looking and rereading materials, remembering the experiences that I once had in comparison to the experiences that I now have. One was experiences and paranormal and deja vu and events and thought, you know, things and feelings and a shadow presence here and a voice there and all kinds of stuff, even out of the body experiences. But now on this side of the fence, the Spirit of God's indwelling, the living Christ, the love of God, forgiveness of God, the joy, the reality, the immensity of this final generation, the immensity of the end of the age, the immensity of the infallible, accurate revelations of the actual future, and then the massive attempt to counterfeit it, guiding humanity to a Luciferic globalism. Oh, there'll be a rise of the Antichrist. The world will see this individual, as we've said before, as a superhuman. Greek word referring to him, listen, Theron. That's God's determination in the book of Revelation. This being, probably hybrid, this supernatural, well, Daniel 2,600 years ago, in God's revelation to him, looking at him 2,600 years ago in advance, says he has the face like the face of a man. The mouth that has great blasphemy and speaks boastfully. I mean, there's some detailed description, some profiling going on 2,600 years ago. Profiling in the rest of the New Testament. Deep profiling of the Antichrist. The greatest, the pinnacle of deception that leads to the pinnacle of destruction. Billions die. Billions deceived, billions die. Can I ask you a question tonight? Which one will you be? Indwelt by the Spirit of God, knowing the living Christ, knowing the gift of eternal life, knowing the coming glorification, or the counterfeit, the alternative, the pipe dream of an evolution to a human transformation that will make humanity homo lumos, homo deity. That all began in the garden in the midst of the deception. It brought about the fall of the human race. And I think reading Ed Dames and looking at his description of the battlefield and the bodies and the blood and the smoke and the heat and the weaponry and his feeling that because he wasn't able to do enough that he would be in hell. See, there is a scripture, a revelation. The Spirit of God, it's his words. It's in the book of Hebrews. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. This is where anybody who wants final justice, perfect, absolute justice is coming. Judgment is coming. Now, God chooses mercy over judgment and would rather all of us turn, come back. Oh, we can play the game of being autonomous, absent God, and just look at other non-human enhancements and watch how all those other non-human enhancements never connect us with God, never connect us with a real relationship or a real future with God. There's a reason. It has everything to do with the source. Tonight on Wednesday, the 27th of October, we're dealing with, again, the concept of paranormal, the non-human enhancement. We're going to be talking about, listen, paranormal, the idea of something beyond the norm. Alienology, aliens and spacecraft and orbs and seeing the dead and deja vu, seeing visions, getting visited, events, abilities. What about reading minds? What about sending thoughts? What if we all had the ability to read everybody else's mind? What if we could send thoughts into other people's minds and guide them, or at least try? What about going invisible? What about connecting to a global out there domain that connects us to what I believe is counterfeit to the omniscience of God, a collective that operates similar to the infinite knowledge, awareness of God, the omniscience of God, but it is not. There is the Akashic Records, and everything about the Akashic Records and the entities behind tell me that this out there, oh, the physicists are finding it, the researchers are finding it, the field, the global brain. It's Ephesians chapter 2, where there is a prince of the domain, the power of the Eros, the immediate dense atmosphere. Listen, that collective is seeking to tap into humanity, and a lot of humanity, at times not even knowing it, has been lured. Curiosity has been invoked, a drawing, a little knocking at the door, a little knocking here, a little experience there. Rudolf Steiner, you know, he sees what later on it's a dead woman walking through asking for help, and so he formulates literally a doctrine of spiritual reality based on that experience. That experience and the doctrine, his conclusion, would lead him into further occult, paranormal themes. Engaging that Akashic record, that realm, engaging all of those sources. And I think that's important for all of us to know what side of the fence we're drawing from. There's a movie out right now called Paranormal Activity 2. Everybody kept telling me about the first one. Go see it, Russ. It's incredible. It's the most, you know, scary thing you've ever seen. On and on and on and on and on. So I waited till the price was way down there, and I went to the cheapest showing I could with about three people in the audience at that point anyway. And I ended up walking out before it was over. Very non-expensive movie, obviously. But again, I could see where it would scare some folks. And obviously, if you're in a home where weird things are going on, there's sounds, there's things that are moved, there's voice, where your wife all of a sudden is trancing out and something seems to be possessing her. Now, Paranormal Activity 2 is supposed to be even more scary. Now, of course, it's going to make somebody millions. I think the other one it topped 100 million. So I wonder, but it does, because millions and millions will see it because of that movie and many others like The Hereafter coming out. Now, I saw some of the clips of Hereafter. Have you seen any of them at all? I don't know if you're going to be able to hear this or not, but there's part of the clip of one of those that...
Just because I can make money doing this. Just because I can, then I should do it.
Yeah, I do. I also think you have a duty to do it because you have a gift.
It's not a gift, Billy. It's a curse.
It's not a gift, Billy. It's a curse. That's what he says in the movie about his psychic abilities. His ability to see the dead, to give readings, and so Matt Damon, that plays the part of George, talking with his brother Billy about this, and so everybody wants to, you know, him to give the readings. And in one of the pictures in the trailer shows when he grabs the hands of a man, all of a sudden the other side opens up and he sees dead people mulling around. Can I touch on the issue of dead people for a moment? Since that's in the realm of the studies of the paranormal. I mean, even a university out in Arizona is in massive study. The Project Sophia is in massive study of taking under research guidelines. Dr. Schwartz is taking individuals that claim to have interaction with otherworldly entities. And so they're doing all this study concerning... There's no question that interaction can occur. And I would say this, if you're somebody that's been interacting. Now listen, I will say one thing. Those who are deep Satanists and Luciferians that we've dealt with, they know the entities they have. Old traditional Satanists, they know the powers they're engaging. They laugh at the New Age version and the light level stuff and the deception that's out there. They know the sources. But they've also been convinced that their side is somehow going to be able to win through the collective evolutionary development of their dark side and the evolution of its powers and knowledge. Somehow, the evolution of the finite will be able to defeat the immeasurable infinite. it's still 100 gazillion miles away. Concepts like this, to me, scratches the surface and lets me know that those who would do this do not know the depth of the attribute of God. Infinite, immeasurable. Well, to say it in simple terms, I like to use this, you know, picture. Anyway, if you were there with God at the throne of God and said, God, I want to see how vast you are, pack your backpack and hike into the being of God. Truth is, you would never come out. You would never find the end. There is no end. There is no beginning. It's just simply, absolutely, infinite God. Coming down to omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, but also omnirelational. This is the God that created us to walk with Him and see Him in majesty. Now, something else has come in the midst of it all, and there is an alternative side. That's what it's all about in the garden, an alternative spirituality, an alternative paranormal, supernatural. But listen, you don't understand the origin of and the nature of this, do you? You don't understand the agenda. I mean, it does take the Spirit of God, infinite in knowledge. Nothing gets by Him. That scripture I was reading earlier, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. I understand the pain at Dames speaks about. Also know at the cross the words of Christ. Dedicate this to Ed Dames tonight and all remote viewers. Jesus Christ on the cross says, Father, only He could say these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The power of the sinless Lamb of God shedding sinless blood for a sin bearer of the world. John the Baptist, the greatest of all prophets, one of the greatest, cleanest, righteous individuals in all of history. The moment he sees Emmanuel walking near him, he cries out, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Taking away sin means, and I've experienced it, there is an experience of this. Taking away the sum total of our sin is inseparable from the removal of the guilt. The power of God to forgive includes the application of what Christ did at the cross, which removes all guilt. Where His presence, literally, as if there's a cleansing. And God's declaration that we are righteous, based on Christ, He died for the sins of humanity. He died for the liars and the warmongers and the slaughterers and all of the sin and all of the evil and all of the filth and all of the junk and everything you have ever done. It's all forgivable because the grace operative there, the grace provided by God, the mercy provided by God is bigger than the sum total of your sin and the collective sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Christ at the cross, no little thing, sum total of the sins of the world are overcome. The power of the sin nature, the power of death, the power of Satan's deceiving, lying connection to us while we're fallen. All of it broken the moment the living Christ. Now listen, I agree with so many people in the sense that there are many experiences to be, well, engaging. I mean, everybody's kind of had the deja vu thing. Let me tell you about some experiences that are found in the scripture that literally militaries are drooling over. What about translocation? In other words, the ability to leave right here and instantaneously end up 100 miles away. I mean, you don't have to get on, you don't have to get on the Delta airplane. You don't have to get in the helicopter. You don't have to get in an elevator. You don't have to get in your car. Acts chapter 8 shows the physics of God, the ability for this to occur. There's Philip out there unleashing the message of the gospel. An angel comes to give him direction. The Holy Spirit says, go stand by that chariot. He leads the Ethiopian official to Christ, baptizes him. And then all of a sudden, Philip disappears and appears somewhere else where he continues doing the mission. One reason why I'm going to say to all the Christians out there that he had such demonstrative, supernatural, the hand of God was all over his life, was that he was an incessant, non-stopping, committed, great commission soul. I mean, he was just committed to the mission of God. He wouldn't give up. I mean, he was just absolutely sold out into obedience. And so in that process, as God promised, God will be all over that. You want God all over your life? You want God all over your church? You want God all over your ministry? Then be absolutely... Listen, if you're a believer, didn't Jesus say, take up the cross and follow me daily? You can't be my disciple if you don't. Didn't Jesus say, if you love me, you'll obey me? Doesn't James chapter 1 say that if we look at the word don't and then don't do it, that we deceive ourselves? There's nothing, no benefit. But if we take the word of God, put it into practice, in other words, obey it, that we're blessed. You see, we receive all by faith, but by that act of faith of obedience, all is manifest. God is able to unleash all of the physics of God, the supernatural of God, and he does it by the laws of engagement, by how he said he would. You step out in obedient faith to God, and increase that and keep walking that way and keep staying that way, you will find the absolute hand of God demonstratively among you. God's backing. You will find incredible. Well, I tell you what, you read Acts 8, you're going to see what any true committed believer. Now, I'm not just saying you're a good believer because you don't sin, or you know, you're a good believer because you don't go to stupid movies. When do we come from just simply thinking that all we need to do is stop doing bad things and then we're a good believer? Whatever happened to taking up the cross, following Christ, Great Commission, stepping out, being obedient? What is the clothing of the Spirit of God all about? Global witness. One by one, if necessary. So I'm just saying about the, well, some would call paranormal, because there are those that would claim. I mean, even Ed Dames, in that first chapter of his book, Tell Me What You See, talks about the Navajo Indian and being out there on Indian property where old Indian, through their abilities, were able to shapeshift and do all kinds of stuff, all kinds of supernatural, paranormal things. Is that a possibility? I believe so. Why would, listen, what about invisibility? I mean, literally, Philip, in one sense, went invisible. In one, less than a second, he was gone. Showed up somewhere else. What about Jesus outside? This is after the resurrection. The disciples are all locked and hidden in a room. They're all hiding away, locked. Did Jesus walk through the door? Did he just simply, you know, choose and appear? You know, did he go invisible? I mean, when he went out, did he just go invisible? Did he walk through the door? Well, this goes back to Colonel Stubblebind, the men who stared at goats. Psi warfare and psi abilities. Fort Bragg. This is the guy in the movie that's still alive right now that attempted to, with psi abilities and with meditative abilities and all that he was doing, literally get up and seek to walk through the wall. I mean, if Jesus could do it, he can do it. Right? Wrong. There is a difference between Colonel Stubblebine and Jesus Christ. You do recognize that, right? I mean, we do realize, I mean, even when the Gnostics and the psychics and remote viewers through their information obtained out of the Akashic Records, they all tell us about a dumbed-down, de-deified Christ, a non-saving, non-living, an old, you know, good psychic master from the past. Now, the Gnostics will do that. The psychics will do that. I went over a few weeks back Sylvia Brown's revelation of that. It's always a dumbed-down lesser that you can't know, that you don't, you know, listen, I'm going through that entire book of Sylvia Brown. She doesn't talk about knowing Christ. She doesn't talk about the joy, the majesty, the incredible embrace, because she doesn't know him. She's embraced another. Let me ask you tonight, what do you embrace? If you're a new ager, have you embraced the cosmic Christ? Well, where's he at? What's he doing? What's he done for you? What did the cosmic, I mean, do you understand from the, did the cosmic Christ die on a cross for you? Is he what Isaiah the prophet said by the Holy Spirit, Emmanuel, God in human flesh? What about the angels? Listen, can I tell you something right now? There are individuals, again, in the paranormal, you know, tapping into the angels to get information and psychic readings for people. Really? What angels would that be? Gods or the devils? I mean, every angel of God points to Christ. They all know him. They announced his birth. They attended it. They were there in the midst of ministry. They were there at the transfiguration, discussing his departure. They were there at the cross, at the resurrection, at the ascension. You see what the angel said? Acts chapter 1. This same Jesus whom you see go, he's going to return again. And the Bible talks about, well, gosh, what is it going to be? A gazillion angels that will be coming with him? See, the angels of God, they know. I mean, you read Revelation 19, you're going to see what an angel of God does when somebody, you know, in ignorance bows down to worship it or interact with it as if it was a source. The angels of God know. They are powerful. They are majestic. They are massive. They're assigned to every believer in Christ. They're operative in the world. They're in the midst of warfare. The chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands upon thousands. Psalm 68. They're involved in ministry. They're involved in the book of Revelation, listed probably over 60 times angels are referred to, and all of the seal, trumpets, the judgments, the all that's going to be occurring. It will even be an angel of God sent that chains, this is future, this is why the dark side is so furious to try to stop it. In the future, it's going to take one angel obeying God that will chain the fallen cherub for 1,000 years, and there will be no more war. So all of those individuals that quote the Isaiah, you know, they will, you know, their plow, their weapons will be turned into plowshares. They're going to turn into farming tools. There'll be no war anymore. That's when the Prince of Peace, not a cosmic spiritual evolution that you don't know where it's coming from, not some source, you know, that we're little by little by little by little tapping into. It's, listen to me now, it's the lure. The fish sees the beautiful, tasty-looking bug on the top of the water, hanging just below the water. It looks like the other bugs. It looks like the best bug. It looks like a juicy bug. It looks like a good bug. It's going around. It's going around. It nibbles at it. It's still there. Little by little by little, eventually it bites all the way, and it's hooked, pulled out of the water, out of its environment. A knife is taken to it. It's scaled. It's all cut to pieces, half thrown away, half thrown into a pan, and it's being fried and going to be eaten. That's pretty gory, isn't it? That's really a depiction of the power of, listen, of seduction. The ability for the predatory spiritual presence to observe humanity, to read in the context of culture and all that's going on, part of the agenda, and begin to grant paranormal, interactive engagements to offer non-human enhancements. See, as a believer in Christ now, the Spirit of God dwells in, the Holy Spirit teaches, the Holy Spirit guides, the Spirit of God leads, there's comfort, there's so many things I can talk about. There are gifts of the Holy Spirit called charismatic gifts. They are the word of knowledge. Having a word about something that is 100% accurate, which you didn't get from learning, but it was instantaneously given about a situation or a word of wisdom or discerning spirits or miraculous powers. And there's a whole list of giftings, about 19 of them. Every one of those are literally counterfeited on the other side of the fence. Let me ask a question when it comes to the paranormal. What if we could read minds? Would you get on a bus and start reading everybody's mind around you? What if they had the power? What if they invaded your mind and began to read your mind? Would you shut your mind down? Would you wear a helmet that would stop that process? What if you had the ability to send thoughts and influence other people? Would some people use those, send thoughts into that man's head, make him think that he needs to open his wallet and give you all his money? Send thoughts into that girl's head, make her think she needs to take all of her clothes off. I mean, if we have the power, a paranormal ability to read minds, to send thoughts, to go invisible, to bilocate, how would we use it? It goes to the nature of man and what's inside of us in the fall of the human race. I know one thing, that all of the non-human enhancements that the dark side cloaks and gives to mankind preoccupies individuals. It even makes them feel special, advanced, even elitist, if they're honest. That they have abilities that others do not, though they say everybody can get them. Some can make millions on non-human enhancements. Non-human enhancements can include reading the mind, sending thoughts. In the goat lab of Fort Bragg, it was all about sending psychic power, psi power. Read the old stuff on PK Man back in the 70s. The Russian studies in psi power. Paranormal abilities, well, to, again, invade the mind of a general and get him to make a mistake. To invade the mind of the President of the United States and get him to make other choices. That's what it said happened to Carter when President Carter went to Russia on a visit. It was said later that Russian psi warriors sought to guide his mind. See, it's not just remote viewing that's out there. The ability to remote heal, to remote influence. And for my engagement with some second-generation remote viewers, to remote attack, to remote touch, to do harm, you can do it. You can use it with harm. You sure can. The idea of astral projection, leaving your body and visiting. Many engagements with that over the years of individuals, even those that have sought to come here where I'm at. Or a remote viewer from Fort Bragg that remote viewed my home, talking on the phone with me, explaining the color or the shape of the house and all the things. They were about 50% right and 50% wrong. That same individual said that the ability they had was merely human, but that they did have to kind of go passive and open up to that unconscious part of them. And the truth is, now Ed Dames clearly makes it known, as others have already done, that it involves attachment to an outside source. Collective unconscious, global brain, the field, the old Akashic records. It is the realm, you can call it the realm of occultism, occult presence, spirit, power, knowledge. Listen, the collective in the eros, the atmosphere around the earth. There is a domain. There is literally a place. It's the idea of a place. Dimensionally, it's there. It's in the air right above our heads, literally. It's the idea that that presence is collective, it's global, it's connected, and that there is a sense of counterfeit to the omnipresence, the omniscience, and even the omnipotence of God. That collective presence, operative, the Chinese can tap into it, Russians can tap into it, Israelis can tap into it, Germans can tap into it. From that realm, that domain, it can go beyond just words and data and revelation. It can go to the point of voices and presence and entities. There's a lot of remote viewers that are in that process, but now they're engaging the entities that are connected to and coming from the Akashic Records. And so the paranormal, the idea of something beyond the normal, I mean, we can contrast that to a closed universe. There's nothing else. We came from nowhere. We're going nowhere. We're just like a blade of grass. We come up, we die, we go, and that's it. And the truth is, there is real no significance, nothing about living and dying. Don't worry about it. You're just here. You like an apple that falls to the ground, rotting and going back into the ground. That's all we are. And yet we scream by the billions from the inside out that we want to live forever, that we somehow know we will live forever. Even the movie Hereafter, dealing with the paranormal, seeing the dead, and the concept of the hereafter. Listening to individuals and say, well, I went out there somehow. I went out there. And we do. We live beyond death. But the issue is where? Do dead people just mull around? What, by the billions now? By the millions? I mean, just all mulling around looking. They stop by our kitchen, walk through the stove, come by at night, look at us. I mean, if you were the dead person, is that how you would spend your time? What would you be doing? If you were dead and gone, in what state would you be in, and what would you be doing? I think that's the whole issue with not really having enough information and knowing what really is going to happen. Now, there's all these experiences that can demand us to formulate doctrine. But there's also the experiences in Scripture, the revelation of the Spirit of God, the direct work of God in all of this. It deals with life and death and origins and all the rest. Knowing God is paranormal. It is supranormal. It is beyond just the norm. I mean, when I was lost, my spirit was dead to God. I mean, I'm alive. My spirit, my soul, my body, I'm alive. I'm a spiritual being. But because of sin, because of the presence that is here in the world, we're cut off. That's what Christ's coming is all about. You got that? You see, I don't think there's a lot of folks that get that. I don't think there's a lot of folks that understand that his presence into the world was to seek us, provide a way, call it the physics of God if you want, the function at the cross. Everything that was necessary in breaking the barriers and opening the doors and bringing what is needed to not only bring us back into direct relationship with the Creator is the Redeemer. Don't you forget that. The Creator is the Redeemer. The Creator comes in human flesh to identify with us. I would urge you. If you're a New Ager, if you're a remote viewer, if you're someone going through pain, looking for help from the wrong side, it will only direct you in the way that it ultimately wants you to go. The Bible, as I read one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 48, God teaches you what is best and leads you in the way. Infinite God, infinite knowledge, infinite wisdom, infinitely good. God's never given me a leading that was wrong or bad or laughed at me down the road after he tripped me up. God didn't play the game. So in the context of tonight, I got about 10,000 other things to say, but we're down to 4 minutes. Can I ask you again, if you developed all kinds of abilities, would you really seek to find out where they came from? Does it come from God? If it does it lead you to God? If it comes from God, does God say, well, this is how you use it? See, I have a Bible, and in 35 years, I've never taken my Bible and slammed somebody on the head with it. That's not why we have a Bible. That's not how we use it. You know, if I was getting non-human enhancements, would I want that to lead my life? Why, when it comes to the New Age, to the psychics, to the remote viewers and others, why the paranormal and the supranatural, why doesn't it lead them to a dynamic personal relationship with God where there's joy and excitement and a testimony that says, wow, man, it's awesome to know God and I love God and I could talk about God all day. God leads to God in all of what he's revealed and all of what he's done. The dark side in all of its tools never leads to God. Never guides. None of the paranormal, none of the supernatural, ever from that side. It can't. It won't. The events, the experiences, the engagements, even the abilities given. It's all real. Ultimately, lethally wrong. Who'd want to live their own whole life though it can be so real? Can I ask you a question? If you had these powers, if you had these non-human enhancements, if you had all these abilities, and God literally came up to you and said, listen, get rid of all these, they don't come from me, and let me come into your life, I will give you abilities, I will give you things from my side of the fence, would you be willing to give up the non-human enhancements that you feel you've obtained? I know individuals that are so caught, so hooked into them, they say they will not. The music's here. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. We'll see you tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Following this show, 7 p.m., The Ragged Edge. Remember us in your prayers. Remember us in your support. God bless. Good night.